seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Been looking for several months now at some things that are forbidden other than the physical act of adultery. Certainly that's forbidden. All sexual sins are forbidden under this commandment. All that leads, contributes, provokes to those sins are covered under this commandment. Been looking at dress. Immodest dress certainly is covered, certainly is contributory. If we go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, we've looked so far at what the Bible has to say about nakedness, and the Bible has much to say about it. We see God's definition of nakedness, so it's not for you and I to define it. It's already been defined. But in Genesis 3, in verse 7, after the fall, we see that Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, remember they were naked before they sinned, but there was no shame, and that's because the absence of sin. But as soon as they sinned, nakedness, of course, takes on an entirely different meaning. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Made themselves aprons. And those aprons were not sufficient enough to satisfy the Lord. So the Lord invented, sinful man invented what was deemed inadequate by God. And God did not consider them clothed in those aprons. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, Genesis 3 verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife, keep in mind they have these aprons, did the Lord God make coats. So this is God making, God designing clothing. God made coats. There's a big difference between coats and fig leaves. Huge difference. God made coats. The word coat there is a tunic, a loose garment. Notice what he made these coats of. Of skins, animal skins. So this is not something that was sheer. He made coats of skins. Was not these coats of skins, of course, would not be form-fitting. And it says, and clothed or covered them. Now go back to Genesis with that in mind, Genesis 3:21, and clothed them. He clothed them in coats of skins. With that in mind, go back to Genesis 3 and verse 7. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Nowhere in that verse does it say that they clothed themselves in aprons. Why doesn't it say that? Because they didn't clothe themselves. They didn't cover themselves. They were still, again, as God approaches them, he still considers them naked. So again, once again, you don't have to be stark naked to be naked. They had fig leaves. And God still considered them naked. So God makes close. And I believe in doing so, he sets a pattern concerning the design of clothes. But the key word there, the key phrase is, "and covered them." So when God made clothes, it was for the purpose of covering. That's true. Every single time we see God connected with clothes, the purpose was for covering. We must always remember that. The purpose of clothes, believe it or not, is not comfort. The purpose of clothes is not even looks. The purpose of clothes, and I'm not saying that you can't consider that which is comfortable or that which looks nice. That's not what I'm saying. That's not the purpose. The purpose, the design, is to cover. That's the purpose of clothing. Now, in Exodus 28, verse 42, God spends almost an entire chapter discussing the clothing of the priest. He gets into the color. He gets into the fabric. He gets into the purpose of the clothing. So anyone who says, "Well, it doesn't matter to God what I wear," you're dead wrong. Read Exodus 28. I mean, he even goes into the fabric. But what we want to point out there in verse 42, "And thou shalt make them," speaking of the priests, "linen." So that's the fabric. "Linen breeches." Why were they to make linen breeches? To cover. To cover. Not so that they can be comfortable, not so that they look nice, to cover their nakedness from the loins, be the hips, unto the thighs, the knees, shall they reach. So God discusses the fabric, he discusses the purpose, and he discusses the quantity of the clothing, that is, what it is to cover. So again, when God designed clothes back in the garden, also concerning tabernacle service, when God designed clothes, it's with the purpose of covering. Now, with that in mind, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 11. "And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." White robes. Once again, God's even concerned with the color. But what he clothed these saints with, deceased saints, is robes. Robes. Big difference between a robe and fig leaves. Huge difference. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 9. "After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne," now, "and before the Lamb, clothed, covered." What were they covered with? White robes. I believe those robes correspond to the coats. It's the same type of garment. That is, I'm not saying the robes are made of skins. That's not what I'm saying. That's not even important. What I'm saying is it's long flowing. It's not form fitting. Revelation 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed, attired, clothed in white robes? Who are these that are attired or clothed in white robes? He didn't just say, who are these that are wearing white robes? But they're clothed in white robes. They're covered in white robes. You can wear something and still not be covered. Verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes, there it is again, robes, and made them white. Now we see what the white represents in the blood of the Lamb. So we see God's people clothed in robes, a long and loose outer garment. It is not form-fitting. It is not revealing. So we see God designing clothes in Genesis. We see God designing clothes in Exodus. We see God designing clothes here in Revelation. And in each case, the purpose is covering. That is the thing that needs to stick in the minds of everybody, saved or unsaved. The purpose of clothing is to cover. That's the purpose. That's the reason we are to wear clothes, to cover. We do not wear clothes to reveal. That's not what clothes are for. Clothes are for covering. So, some people would ask, well, what's covering? Now, that's really an ignorant question. But the purpose of clothing, again, is to cover, to conceal, not to reveal. Not to reveal the outline of the body. Clothing is not to reveal the outline of the body. Now, you and I very well know that we live in an overly sexed culture, and it becomes more so each day. And clothing that exposes areas of the body that normally draw attention from the opposite sex. Again, you have to have some understanding of the sinful nature, because that's when nakedness changed, when you enter in the sinful nature. So clothing that exposes areas of the body that would normally draw attention from the opposite sex does not meet the criteria of covering. Does not meet the criteria of concealing. Does not meet the criteria of modest. So we have to get into some details. That which is tight-fitting, that which is form-fitting, which of course reveals body contours, does not constitute modest apparel. Those coats of skin were not form-fitting. That which is sheer, exposing areas of the body that, again, would naturally draw attention from the opposite sex, that which is sheer does not meet the criteria. That which reveals undergarments does not meet the criteria of covering. Now, we've all seen it, and we know how ridiculous it looks. People wearing their pants halfway down the rear end, revealing their underwear. Why don't they just wear their underwear? That's not clothing. That's not clothing. It's revealing. Low-cut tops that reveal cleavage. Short tops that do not cover. Does not meet the criteria of covering and concealing. Then, clothing that allows limited exposure. Now, if you know anything about the nature of man, and at this point I'm speaking the nature of a male, limited exposure in many cases is worse than full exposure. So that which allows limited exposure. What do you mean by limited exposure? Well, I mean just what it says. You're not exposing all. But you are exposing enough to get the sinful imagination going. That would fall under the... And again, it applies to men and women. It would... slit skirts, that's limited exposure. Clothes that are torn. It's never made sense to me. Why in the world you would go into a store and buy a pair of blue jeans that have holes in them? Spend good money to buy clothes that have holes in it. I mean, you almost need your head examined. But we know why people do that, whether they want to admit it or not. It's limited exposure. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of clothes with holes in it. It gives limited exposure. So clothes that are worn that have holes that expose areas of the body that draw attention... that draw attention to the opposite sex. Our clothing is not, the purpose of clothing is not to draw attention to ourselves. The purpose of clothing is only one, to cover. It's not to draw attention to ourselves. So, clothing is the cover. That is so. When we're standing, that is so when we are sitting. So clothing is to cover when I'm standing. Clothing is to cover when I sit. If it does not cover, if it covers when you're standing but does not cover when you sit, it's not modest. It's not concealing. It is to cover when we're stooping. It is to cover when we're walking. Again, clothing is to cover. This is true in recreational activity. Well, we can dress differently today because we're doing such and such a recreational activity. Covering is to clothe, or covering is to cover, regardless of recreational activity. If you cannot do a recreational activity and be clothed, guess what? Don't do the recreational activity. It's that simple. Clothing is to cover. That is also true where many seem to think that nudity is acceptable. The beach. People think, many Christians think, that nudity is acceptable on the beach. It is not acceptable for you to walk around in your underwear in public, whether it's a beach or wherever. It's no more acceptable at the beach as it is at Walmart or anywhere else. But somehow people have got it in their minds that there's certain places where the purpose of clothing is no longer to cover. That's just not so. Clothing is to cover. There's also, this also applies to functions, where many seem to think that nudity is acceptable in the name of elegance. What comes to my mind is weddings. Wearing gowns that reveal cleavage. Well, it's a wedding. So that means it's okay to uncover yourself? Well, it's a wedding. I realize that. But people are still to be covered. It's that simple. The purpose of clothing is to cover. But in weddings, many times, people seem to think that it's okay to wear gowns. They're long enough. They may be flowing, they may not be form-fitting, but somehow it's okay to reveal cleavage, it's okay to reveal bare backs during a wedding. It's not okay. Clothing is to cover. And if it does not do so, it defeats the purpose of clothing. Now, the people who design clothing, and I say that, I don't mean every single person, but overall, the people who design clothing, I guarantee the first thought in their mind is this has to cover. That's not what they're thinking. They're thinking about appealing to other people. And sadly, appealing to the sinful flesh of other people. Big difference, Genesis 3 verse 7, Genesis 3 verse 21, between God's design of clothing and man's design of clothing. Huge difference. Neither men nor women are to dress in such a way that appeals to the baser instincts of man. That's not why we put clothes on. To do so is immodest dress. It shows a disregard for the purity of oneself. It shows a disregard for the purity of others, and it shows disrespect to the Lord. Clothing sends a message. We all know that. We all know that. Clothing sends a message. People cannot help but see our clothing. People will make the statements, well, they shouldn't look then. You cannot help but see a person's clothing. And at first glance, you notice whether someone is sloppy or neat in their clothing. I mean, you just can't help but notice that. Doesn't mean that you are casting judgment. Clothing sends a message. You notice whether clothing is simple, plain, or glamorous. You also notice whether clothing is provocative or modest. And believe it or not, and people immediately say, well, that's not fair. Well, people have a perception concerning us based on what we wear and how we wear it. There's a perception. Now, the perception may not be accurate. I grant you that. But my point is, clothing sends a message. And again, a person can dress sloppy. You can jump to the conclusion that is a sloppy person. Well, not necessarily. But once again, clothing sends a message. What do we base that on? Well, there's several things we base it on. We'll just mention one and then we'll continue next week. Genesis 3, verse 11, when Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together to make aprons, that prompted God to ask, "Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" What gave them away? God, of course, knew, but what gave them away? Their clothing. Their clothing gave it away. You see, before that, there was no shame in nakedness. And the fact from what they were wearing spoke loud and clear that they had sinned against God. Those aprons revealed that they were sinners and rebels against God. Clothing sends a message. Our clothing says something. That's why it different subject to some point. It bothers me today greatly. The way people come to funerals, different things. And I realize some people wear the best they have, and that's not what I'm talking about. But clothing sends a message. And to me, there are places where you are showing respect. A funeral home is one of those places. And clothing sends a message of respect. Now again, people, I know some may say, "Well, he's saying, you know, that's all they can afford." That's not what I'm talking about. I understand all of that. That's not what I'm talking about. And we need to stop, but we'll continue next week. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your commandments. We thank you, Lord, for the hedge that they serve in our lives, and we just pray that you'd help us. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us now as we worship you, that our worship would be glorifying to you, that it would be pleasing to you. Lord, that you'd just draw us closer to you this day. Draw our hearts to thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.